your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
Oh, get busy, people. Get busy because the business is in the room. That's right. How to start your own business, why you should start your own business, and maybe why you shouldn't start your own business, because we lay out all the rules and regulations of what it takes to be an entrepreneur here in Central Virginia. Let me fire up all the proper buttons. Let's see. I want to turn on the mixer. And I want to turn on microphone 2. We'll go in order across the front from left to right, at least in my look. Kurt Gray. Kurt, how are you today?
I'm very well, Rick. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks. Kurt is the franchise owner, correct?
That is correct.
What's the proper name?
Maggie Moo's Ice Cream Territory.
Ice Cream Territory. I'll screw that up. So I'm just going to call it Maggie Moo's Ice Cream Parlor. Ice cream shop. You're not going to get fined for that in any...
No, I generally refer to it as Maggie Moo's.
All right. And that's located up in the, I think we all call it the Target Shopping Center.
We are in the Hollymead Town Center, that's correct. We are closer to the Harris Teeter than Target.
All right. And we'll be talking with Kurt about being a local entrepreneur. And a lot of questions will apply to everyone, but we'll have some franchise questions directed out at Kurt. Next in line, Stephanie Marshall. Stephanie, how are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
You can claim to be a little nervous.
Yes, I'm a little nervous.
You can be a little nervous. And I do need you to sit a little closer. And, you know, you're going to remain nervous if you keep your hands tucked together like that. It's all part of body language. I've learned that through the years here.
Okay.
All right. You and your husband?
Yes.
Owners of M3 Masonry.
Mm-hmm. M3 Marshall Contracting and Masonry Incorporated. We like to go by M3 Inc.
M3 Inc.
Yeah.
And you're actually big supporters here of WNRN, but I hear you and your business all the time associated with live arts.
Yes.
I don't think of construction with live arts a lot. Why? Let me toss this question out to you before we get into being a local entrepreneur. Why that?
Well, I have always loved live performances, and my husband and I thought to keep the money local here in Charlottesville, it would be a good way to promote the business and also to promote live arts.
All right. Good. We're always happy to have you folks around. I like to have live arts on the station as well. Last, but certainly not least, Dan Epstein, owner of Epi's Restaurant on the Downtown Mall. Dan, how goes it?
Going well. Hey, Rick.
I'm curious, Epi's, it sounds like it's after your last name. Is that true?
It is indeed after my last name. My grandfather, Isaac Epstein, actually went by Epi his whole life. He was Epi Epstein. And my brother and I, Charles is the other owner, we always sort of went by derivations of Epstein, whether it was, you know, Big E for my brother or Ep or Epper, and so just thought Epi's was a good idea, sounded right.
So both of the non-franchise businesses where you got to pick your name are something to do with a family, right? Epi's and M3 Marshall.
Correct.
And I know I'm going to say 3M. At one point, please forgive me early on. I will do my best. But M3 Marshall, why is it M3? Are there three Marshalls involved?
Actually, my husband is a third generation brick mason here in Charlottesville. His grandfather was mason, his father was mason, and he is a mason.
Okay. Wow.
So that's where the three came from.
All right. You're certainly welcome to call up with your questions today. I think that being a local entrepreneur just leads me to tons of questions. So I'll cover if you just want to sit back and listen. But Sarah's here to answer the phones. You might even get Kate here to answer the phone. Dan's wife is in the studio with us as well. And then Michael is here being the full masonry support that this program needs as a producer. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. All those numbers, the toll-free number works if you're calling from Lexington's 95.9, Harrisonburg's 95.1, or any of the other numbers that you could be out there. 1105 on the wake-up call. All right, let's get started straight up. And ladies first. How did you get started in being a business owner? Not an employee, but the owner of the business.
Well, when my husband and I decided to build our own house, we looked around for mason contractors in the Charlottesville area and noticed that the quality of the masonry was not where he was used to it being and not where we both wanted it to be, and decided at that time that we needed to start a mason contracting business.
That seems like a... How much time did it take to make that decision? I mean, okay, you want to build your, you want to build a house.
It was probably about a year that we talked about it, and then finally made the decision that he was at the time working for another company. I was working for Darden, and it was probably about a year in the decision making, and we decided, okay, this is it. Let's go ahead and start it.
How long ago was that? How old is the business?
10 years ago.
10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a lot of growth. We'll get into that throughout the hour, but that's a heavy growth in 10 years because...
We started with three people.
And how many do you employ now?
I have 49.
Wow. Yeah. And we see M3 up at not just some small house projects, M3 signage for being the mason, doing the mason work is on a lot of large projects in this area.
Yeah, 85% of our business is commercial.
Wow. Now. Dan, you and your brother, and I'm going to get into this in a minute, but like I said out of the lobby, you look rather young.
He looks older. He's younger, but he looks older.
What made you decide restaurant work? I want to be a restaurant owner because I've always said that a lot of people want to own a restaurant because if they haven't worked in it before, they think it's a party every night.
Oh, it's
and
a
then
party.
After they do it, then after they do it for a while, they realize, oh, wait. I think 97% of people actually end up going bankrupt and out of business in this job. How much research did you do, and what made you decide that the two of you wanted to get started?
I would say we did a lot of research, but in terms of why we got started and why I wanted to get started, it was just, I mean, I think I first sort of fell in love with the restaurant business, you know, when I was much younger. I've always had restaurant jobs, you know, from early on in high school. My first jobs were restaurant jobs. And that probably started with just, you can't really tell by looking at me, but I really like to eat. So, you know, you like to eat, you learn how to cook. So, you know, I've always had jobs in restaurants. And I've always had the idea of having a restaurant like Eppie's, you know, maybe since high school. You know, this is something I would love to do and wanted to do. And then at my last job, I mean, long story, I'll shorten it up. I was looking through a book called Good to Great, and there's this thing in there called the hedgehog concept. You know, it's about why the hedgehog always beats the fox. And it's because the hedgehog, you know, only does this one thing, but he does it really well. The fox is, you know, really clever and really cunning and has all these tricks that he can use to trick the hedgehog and catch him. But the hedgehog has this one thing that he just balls up and has his spines going out, so the fox can't catch him. And so the hedgehog concept is, you know, these three intersecting circles, and the intersection is what you should do with your life. And it's, you know, what drives your economic engine. What can you be the best at, and you know, what makes you personally happy?
What book was that for people who are interested?
Jim Collins' Good to Great. For those of you who haven't read it, it's I think the best-selling business book ever. And the Hedgehog and the Fox is from Isaiah Berlin. It's an old story. But that was, you know, my hedgehog concept was, you know, running the best fast casual restaurant in Charlottesville, which I define as, you know, sit down quality food in a quick atmosphere.
And Kurt.
Yes, sir.
Maggie Moos. Again, whether it's a privately owned with another family member or just by yourself, you've chosen to go into your own business and be the guy with all the financial aspects at stake. What led you to do that?
Well, it's a very good question. I have always wanted to own my own restaurant. As Dan said, I worked in restaurants when I was in high school and college. I bartended. And it's something that has remained in me even to this day. I'm not completely satisfied with where I am, but I felt that going with the franchise would be a good starting spot to have that corporate support behind you. The basis of my decision, I talked to several local restaurant owners, and they both told me I was insane. You know, put your money in the stock market. But I made an offer on one of those, and it fell through. So I'm a firm believer there's a reason for everything, so that restaurant is now closed. So I guess it was good in hindsight that I didn't take it over at the time because it had some struggled. Going with a franchise allowed me to get some name recognition. It's kind of been limited in Charlottesville because the closest one is in Short Pump, Fredericksburg, so there's not a Maggie Moo's locally other than me at this point.
All right, we got our first call, 1111, here on the Wake Up Call with local entrepreneurs, Dan Epstein, Stephanie Marshall, Kirk Gray. Hey, Doug.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing all right, man. Doug from Richmond, what you got?
Well, I'm a wildfowl carver. And what
Say that again?
Is I basically carve birds from swans to songbirds, specializing in ducks and shorebirds. And I was wondering if you had any tips in moving them out. I've been up and down the East Coast, and from Carolina to Maryland.
All right, I'm going to let him get on it. Keep listening.
All right, man.
All right, so Doug, calling from Richmond, he carves wild fowl. And I guess what it sounded like is, what's the best way to get your stuff marketed out there? How do you find your buyers?
From my perspective, if there's any advice I could give him is just get out with your product as much as possible in front of as many people as possible. If you have a quality product, those people will follow you. They will call you. They will buy your product. And we've been successful in getting out of the store. We actually acquired an ice cream cart within the last 6 months. So,
oh, really? By the way, I'd like to know why the food people brought no samples.
I wasn't sure you had a freezer.
Believe me, it wouldn't have lasted that long that we needed any freezer. I could be sitting here on the air, Kurt, going, Maggie Moo's.
You know where I am. I may not be on the air with you when you're oohing and on, but we can certainly satisfy that desire.
All right, so you have a cart. You're going to where the people are. So it sounds like that some of the suggestions for Doug is find the arts and craft shows of where wild fowl or people interested in handmade craftsmanship would be.
Well, I've been places where I'm vending my ice cream with a lady who's making afghans on one side of me and knitting hats on the other side and the Barbie doll collection across the aisle. So I've certainly tried to get out. I do need to get out more, but those outings were very successful.
Stephanie, how do you let people know about masonry work?
We started as a residential company, and, of course, the Yellow Pages was where we put our ads out to get the name out. As we've grown and turned more into a commercial mason contractor, the general contractors, it's basically by word of mouth. You put out a quality product, I believe, and people will call.
All right. I think one of the big things, by the way, 1114 here on the Wake Up Call with some local entrepreneurs, Epi's Restaurant, M3 Masonry, Maggie Moo's Ice Cream. I'm curious, because it's been one of the big things that turned me, held me back. Much like Dan, I've thought about having my own restaurant, but there's just too many times when I leave that I want to turn off the phone, go home, not deal with it until my next shift. You know, it doesn't mean that you can't call me so I can answer your problem over the phone, but I want some personal time. And it seems to me that being the business owner, the local entrepreneur, have way too much effect on your personal life, on your family life. Each of you has Dan, I know you're married. Stephanie, married with kids. Kurt, I know you're married.
With three children.
How does being the entrepreneur affect your home life? Steph, Stephanie, I've met your girls.
Yes.
Jump in here.
I have a 14 now. She turned 14 on December 30th, and a 7-year-old. And that is probably one of the most difficult aspects of owning your own business.
I called you the other night.
Yes.
To ask you to be on, mm-hmm. expecting to leave a message and have to hunt you down the next day.
Correct.
At 7:30.
Yes.
And you answered
the phone. Yes, I did. It's one of the most difficult aspects of owning your own business is where to draw the line to spend time with family, but also to maintain your duties as a business owner.
How do you do that?
It's a very fine line. My husband and I now, Shane and I, are learning that we do need to take time for ourselves. And sometimes the only way that we can do that is to get out of town.
So leave town for the weekend. You're just learning this.
Just
that was your word,
this
10 years into the business.
10 years into the business.
Did it take that long to build the business to a comfort level for you?
Yes.
Or were there that many, or did you finally sort of almost have that sort of, pass out where you're like, oh my gosh, really, this is wearing me out so much. I'm so uncomfortable that I need to do it.
It was a little bit of both. One of the things too is, when you go and have your health checkups and the doctor says you're completely stressed out to no end and you really need to start taking a little time for yourself, that's kind of a wake-up call as well. But it's one of the most difficult aspects of owning your own business. And still to this point, we're still in a learning curve as to where to draw the line, where the business is, because you do want to be successful. Our goal is to be the best Mason contractor in Central Virginia and also to spend time with your family.
Well, you're the nicest.
Thank you.
I don't know enough about masonry to rock the other stars on you, but I will say that. Dan, are you, and I don't know, I've met you socially a few times, recently married?
Compared to Stephanie, yes. I mean, it's been 2 years, almost three.
Okay. I'm curious as to about, and the business is now 2 years old?
Almost two.
Okay. So you started the business fairly new into your married life.
Yes. Yes, very new into my married life.
I'm curious as to how you managed to build both.
I would say a large part of it is my great supportive wife, Kate.
Hello, who's sitting
Kate.
Out there in the lobby. Watch what you say.
No, Kate has been incredibly supportive throughout this whole process, both when we took over the space January a couple years ago and it was like a disaster area, to when we just opened and I was working, 8 in the morning till 10 at night, 7 days a week. She's just been incredibly supportive. And the other thing, sort of touching on what Stephanie was talking about, I think, I'm only 2 years into it, not 10 or more. So it's hard not to always think about it. But one of the things I do have is a great staff that I can, really trust and rely on to put out the quality food when I'm not there. Because it's not only does it have to be, good every time, but it's got to be consistent. The place has got to be clean. People got to have a good experience. And I think I've got really just a great staff working for me now.
I'm going to get into hunting down staff in a moment as well. Kurt, to follow through on this question to you, you and I had a brief conversation one time not too long ago about the investment of the franchise. I'm curious as to, because this question to me applies to you, how it's affected your home life, but also to have a conversation that says, honey, I want to take this amount of money and put it here.
Well, that's almost exactly the way it went. as Dan said, you have to have the support of your family. And my wife, Ivy, we've been married over 20 years, and we've always had a relationship where we talk things out. And she talks and puts things out on the table, and we come to consensus. The same thing occurred when we talked about Maggie Moo's ice cream. It was an opportunity to go into business for ourselves with an investment that we could afford. I would caution people thinking about it is don't go in with Cadillac ideas with a Chevette budget, because
that is a good picture.
That every day, as Stephanie said, my learning curve, I still haven't reached the top. Every day I learn something. And as our kids have gotten older, that line of family and business is getting tighter, because now there's not one having to go one place, but now there's three going to three different places, and it's only my wife and I. So you do have to juggle. I'm very, very fortunate to have great staff. So when I do leave, I know I'm leaving it in good hands. Do they run it the way I do? Probably not, but you have to have faith that they know my philosophies. And we may talk about later, but the bottom line for my business and any business is customer service. It doesn't matter if you're selling hand-carved ducks, masonry, customer service. If that customer is satisfied, you've got a customer today and tomorrow.
All right, 11:21 here on the Wake Up Call. I got a caller. Hang on for just a minute. Let me take care of a little business here. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Partly cloudy with scattered showers today. Highs 55 to 60. Mostly cloudy tonight. Lows 40 to 45. Mostly cloudy, then some sun tomorrow. Highs 60 to 65. Right now, some clouds across most of the listening area. 57 in the Valley, 45 in Lynchburg, 53 in Richmond, 45 here in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
Oh, and let's thank Blue Ridge Graphics for being there for us. Blue Ridge Graphics, Mead Avenue at East High Street, serving Charlottesville. Custom T-shirts, sportswear, professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. And aside from Blue Ridge Graphics, I want to take a moment and thank other supporters of the Wake Up Call and WNRN. The only reason we can do this is because of listeners like Gary Grant, Ted Henneberry, and Laura Stamp, all who supported it during the fall fund drive. Also because of other underwriters like ACAC and Gearhart's Fine Chocolates. Stay tuned, tell a friend about this show and all the others that are so popular. And other programming you enjoy on NRN, be sure to support us in the upcoming spring fund drive. All right, let's take our phone call from Gary in Albemarle. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Rick. Another great program. This is excellent. Thanks for having these guests on.
No problem. I had to convince a few of them, but...
This is great. Very interesting. I had a couple questions, and I'll just hang up and listen to their answers. Number one, I'd like to know what the source of their courage is for going into business. And number two, what was it like dealing with getting the business licenses locally and setting up that kind of required aspect of their business? And I'll just sit here and listen. Thanks.
All right, boys and girls. Dan, let's start with you.
Sure.
Again, because I asked about the age and being supported that way financially, but also because you're on the downtown mall.
Right.
And I'm going to talk to Kurt about being somewhere on the, what did we call it, the entrance corridor?
The entrance corridor.
But being on the downtown mall, I would think, has so many rules and regulations. So let's answer both of Gary's questions. Where did your courage come from to do this and to say, I can make this work, especially in a field that has such a huge percentage of failure? And then dealing with the business licenses and the county or city regulations.
As far as the courage, I think this is just something I thought about and I talked out with, you know, like Kurt, with my wife, Kate, and with my brother, Charles, and we thought about it. And, you know, certainly it's a risky business, but it was just, you know, this is what we want to do. This is the time. Let's take the risk. Let's do it. So, you know, I don't think you're lacking courage, perhaps, just, you know, call it, I think maybe the name was Gary. But just, you know, talk it out and, you know, take the risk if it's something you really got to do. And this was something we really had to do, so I'm glad we did. As far as the, you know, all the business licenses and stuff, my advice there would be, you know, whatever field you're thinking about getting into, you know, if you have friends in that field, talk to them. If you don't have friends, you know, make some friends and talk to them. You know, I worked at a few local restaurants, you know, before opening Eppy's, and I talked to a lot of people like SCORE. SCORE is a great resource. You know, the Small Business Association is a great resource.
There's now, a lot. SCORE is, I can't remember what they say.
I can't remember the acronym, but it's some sort of
retired executives. Yeah. And they're in a building across from Berkshire Shopping Center, unless they've moved.
They also have an office downtown, just off Market Street.
And they are designed for you to go in, talk with people who used to be in that particular business, and they'll help walk you through for the greatest success you can find. They'll look at your business plan and your budgeting and point you towards financial support, et cetera.
And they'll also tell you, you know, before you can get started, here's all these things you have to do. Just one small example as being a restaurant. And I've seen, you know, some small restaurants when they start out didn't know this, but you can't get an ABC license before you pass health inspection. So you think, okay, I'm ready to open, you know, next week. Let's get the health inspector in, and then we'll go buy ABC so we can sell some alcohol. And then you find out that to get the ABC license, you have to go through this process. That's going to take you maybe 2 to 3 months. So you were ready to open next Friday, but, you know, depending on what type of restaurant you are, it might not even be an option to open without beer or wine or liquor. But, I mean, that's something I wouldn't have known if I hadn't talked to friends first.
Kurt, how does this affect you? Being up on the entrance corridor, by the way, for those who aren't familiar with the Charlottesville area, 29 north and south, 250 east and west, because they're considered to be major passages for folks not just coming, not just the local residents, but people traveling through the area. County has designated rules and regulations so that they can keep things looking, I guess by their terms, proper and appropriate in terms of signage and paint colors and all these other things. So where did you get your courage from, and how did you deal with your what did you have to deal with?
Well, the courage, I think, is just something that you have within yourself when you decide to do anything. The fact that I'm not sure how courageous I was to go into business for myself, but certainly once I made that decision, I didn't hesitate to go forward. In regard to the entrance corridor, the county was very supportive when I was getting my licenses in place. I'm actually, my health department is not the Albemarle County Health Department, but it's the Virginia Department of Agriculture, because we're actually a production facility. We actually make our ice cream on site. We make our cakes on site. So we are governed just like a dairy farm. The signage issue did come into play, because I would take my sign request down and I was like, what do you think? And they're like, well, you have to submit it and we'll let you know. And I'm like, well, if you know it's not going to be approved, just tell me now. And we can save both of ourselves the time. And it turned out that Maggie Moo has some bright colors in their signage that I lost the blue and the fuchsia, and I have black and white, which is okay. We were very limited on signage on Route 29. Target has a sign. Harris Teeter has a sign. But if you put all of the merchants on that signage, it would actually be so small you probably wouldn't be able to see it. So five of the other business and myself decided, well, we're going to do a temporary sign on a temporary. I think it's 18 days up, and then you have to take it down. I can say when our temporary sign goes up, my sales spike up about 20%. So the signage does have a significant impact on my bottom line. So I'm kind of living within the boundaries that the Albemarle County Board of, I guess, Review has put in place. Do I agree with it? Having grown up here, I guess I'm kind of one of those fence sitters, being self-employed business. I want more businesses. I want more people in my area. From a family standpoint, I understand the traffic issues. I understand how they want it all to look pretty when you're coming into town. But realistically, we could use more signage.
Well, for those people, I mean, just to toss out a few things that I'm aware of or that I've had to deal with in this area, the Arby's that's across the street from you and near me, most people, when they think of the Arby's, they have that big Stetson hat is their sign. And they were told, no, you can't do that. It's inappropriate for an entrance corridor. the market that I work at, the Forest Lakes Market, you're only allowed to have two signs. Well, the Exxon on the side of our canopy and the sign that we need to put gas prices up, those are our two signs. So we can't, you know, we can't do much else. And some people would say, well, that's plenty. I mean, gosh, and that hat is ugly anyway. You know, that's obviously everybody's choice. But as the business owner, that may not be what you want or what you need for the Arby's. They're looking to match what everybody else has so that they can be consistent, like Dan said, with expectations. Anyway, not everybody and maybe some of our other areas, Harrisonburg, Lovingston, are familiar with that.
And because I'm a franchise, actually, Rick, my signage, when the county approved it, I had to go back to Maggie Moo's to get their approval because it was not to the corporate specifications as far as colors.
11:31 here on the wake-up call. Dan Epstein, Kurt Gray, Stephanie Marshall, local entrepreneurs from Eppie's Restaurant, Maggie Moo's Ice Cream, M3 Masonry. And we can thank them for being on here because of Blue Ridge Mountain Sports. Blue Ridge has gear for keeping you warm outside on the way to work or class or on the trail. The Blue Ridge staff can recommend the hat, pair of gloves, or jacket, including the Windstopper fleece from the North Face that'll let you enjoy the outdoors anytime. You'll find the Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville, the Mountain Inn at Wintergreen, or at BRMS.com. Dial us up, 979-0919, 1-877. WNRN Rocks is toll-free for the outlying folks. Stephanie, I haven't forgotten about you. I'm curious, you already told us why you went into this business, but as someone who doesn't have, I mean, you do have a home base, but it seems like your signage is almost more appropriate at the places you're working on.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How does that, what are those rules and regulations as far as starting your business and then keeping it up with that, with allowing people to see that that's you out there?
Well, I think as far as Albemarle County is concerned, we face a lot of the problems that Dan and Kurt face with putting large banners up on some of the projects that we're working on. Some projects were allowed to put the big banner, the big M3 banner, and other projects were not allowed. And usually that comes down from the general contractor who lets us know whether or not we are allowed to put our signage up. There's been certain jobs that we've been on that we have not been allowed to put that signage up. So we face the same, maybe not on the same scale as the two of them do, but we do face not being able to advertise which products we're on, or which projects we're working on due to county restrictions.
Do you think, or do you have any positive, definitive notes that say that's where we get our next project from? Is because, hey, you're not going to let us put this banner up. I can see where, if you don't know where Maggie Moo's is, you don't know what business is in that spot in the shop, you never heard of Eppie's because they make the sign to be so small.
Right.
Those gentlemen can sit here and say, yes, I mean, that's severely hurting my business. But is your business come from the Yellow Pages? Does it come from the sign on the site that you're working on? How does it come about?
Well, it's probably a combination of all of them, but we are at the mercy of whoever the general contractor is on the project and as to whether or not the county is going to allow us to put signage up. So a lot of our business comes from referrals. Other general contractors that work with us, that contact other general contractors. We receive a lot of business just by referrals and word of mouth.
979-0919. I can sing that for you. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS is toll-free. Stephanie, what's it like to be a female in the world of business that's typically stereotyped as male?
It's interesting, to say the least. I have certain people who are still in the mentality that women are not in the construction business, and women really don't know what they're talking about or that sort of thing. I have a lot of telemarketers that call trying to sell equipment, and as soon as they find out I'm the decision maker, they hang the phone up on me, which is probably a good thing. But it's been very interesting, and just as Kurt said, I learn something new every day.
All right. Dan, I'm curious because you always hear location, location, location. We'll start with you on this one. Why the downtown mall? It seems like that would be, that would have so many positives and so many negatives all to go with it.
I think it does. I think with any location you find, there's going to be huge positives as well as some negatives. And I think with our location on the downtown mall, it was just, you know, the positives outweighed the negatives. It was what we wanted. We wanted the foot traffic. You know, I love the downtown mall. It was a place we discovered, you know, when I graduated from UVA in about 2001. And it was really sort of turning at that point. You know, restaurants were coming back downtown. The pavilion was getting redone. And now I think there's still some room left to do on the mall before it's, you know, as vibrant as everybody downtown wants it to be. But I think it's, you know, it's moving that direction, and it's a great place to be with, you know, people living near downtown, all the offices that are downtown right now. And then there's all the foot traffic from people who are out of town visiting or shopping.
Do you have any problems downtown with, because I know some of the business owners or some of the managers, you mentioned the pavilion. You know, Fridays after 5. Do you have a problem with some of the? I don't know if they're always city. They're certainly city approved things that are alcohol involved. Do you have problems with that?
We don't generally. I mean, I'm sure maybe the bars do if you're up until 2 a.m. or something, and you know there's people coming in drunk off the street. But that really hasn't been a problem for us. And I'd say, you know, I love First Fridays. It brings down a ton of families, which is, you know, one of our biggest, you know, customers is, you know, people my age or a little bit older who have kids and just want something casual that they can take the kids out to. So I love the First Fridays. I wish they would do it longer. If you're listening, City Hall, you know, I'd say do it till October. Do it till it's too cold to come in. Likewise, I think the concerts down there are great, you know, and I'd love to see, I think this year for New Year's Eve, they did something at the pavilion, and I'd love them to do more stuff there. I think it's great for downtown.
Kurt, you're in a privately owned shopping center.
Yes, sir.
Does that add to the because? And my understanding is that when that shopping center opened, they only took franchise businesses or national businesses. You couldn't be a mom and pop. Eppie's restaurant could not open in that shopping center.
I wasn't aware of that restriction, but Regency Centers, who owns Hollymead Town Center, if I'm not mistaken, is the largest owner of those type shopping centers. And if you go in their other centers, you will see a lot of the same businesses, the Five Guys, the Panera Breads, the Maggie Moves, or another ice cream franchise. The one thing we're missing out there, I've heard rumor for years, of a movie theater.
Yeah. You know,
if there's anyone that wants to invest in a movie theater on the 29 corridor, I would encourage you to do so quickly. But the Regency Center's been fairly open-minded about our signage issues and have approached the county, and basically it came back as the signage we have is the signage that there will be. There's no wiggle room for any more signage. So
I will say that as someone who lives at that end of town and works at that end of town now, I visit that shopping center, if not daily, certainly multiple times during the week. Has nothing to do with Maggie Moo's, but that is the most poorly designed parking lot I have ever seen.
Well, especially for handicap.
Oh my gosh! Do you get feedback on that?
Oh, yes.
or complaints about that?
Oh,
or?
Yes, absolutely. And when I see some of the other businesses parking like right in front of their establishment, it kind of bothers me because the previous places I've worked, employees didn't park in the premium
spots.
Right,
they all have that line somewhere in the back third of the lot.
That's right.
This is where employees have to park behind the line.
We have a very good location in the center. I'm on a corner, so I can see traffic, you know, going around me all the time. And since the center is only about 2 years old, I am seeing an increase in traffic flow, which is good. That's good for all the businesses.
And I guess it keeps everybody driving slowly so they can see what's going on.
They probably don't adhere to the stop signs as they should, but...
But, and especially for someone who's so dependent on family business, you know, I'd be comfortable having my kid walk across because, you know, you got to stop about 10 times. All right, 1140 here on the Wake Up Call. Dial us up, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, I'm going to ask about the ups and downs of the seasons and the weathers.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, moonshine has become a multi-million dollar industry on the black market, and now some distilleries are selling it legally. What's behind the bootleg boom? Should you expect an apology if you're hit by a police car and the city says it wasn't your fault? I don't know. And retiring dean of the UVA Law School, John Jeffries, sits on the Hook interview hot seat. The Hook, reminding us all of the new resolution to never miss a new issue. Oh, let's thank 45fix.com. Additional support today coming from them. If you have a home improvement project, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 45fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate no obligation estimates are available anytime. That's 45fix.com, the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. And you know, we need to thank all the folks out there listening who are going to hang around and listen to Les Temps Purdue, because Drew Thompson is going to be here at noon, best of 80s and 90s alternative. No Foreigner, Debbie Gibson, or Journey. I got Journey CDs. But you will hear Howard Jones, no doubt, and live. And requests are always welcome. Les Temps Purdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music. Doug, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, man.
Sorry, man. I can just talk and talk and talk. What you got?
Well, I sold a little firewood on the side. Whole backyard is filled up with firewood and trees and, you know. Anyway, what I'm getting at is when I put a sign up, I get in trouble with the county. And, I mean, you know, when electricity goes out, I'm the first person they run to because all the stores around are sold out, you know. They know they can get firewood here. But when I put a sign out, and I used to paint signs, but that's been taken over by computers nowadays. So there's no working sign work. And I can paint a decent sign and put it out there.
So the county's hunting you down for not having a license to sell your firewood?
Yeah, and I tried to apply for a license, and they wouldn't give it to me, although I'm zoned agricultural, and I thought that was unfair, but I didn't say anything about it.
Which county are you in?
Chesterfield.
All right. Well, let me chat a little bit about that with these folks.
All right, let's see what's happening.
Was there anything that anybody tried to do but wasn't allowed to do?
As far as signage?
Well, no, as far as you wanted to sell this. You wanted to do this. I mean, we covered the sign part, I think. But is there anything that your business wanted to sell, you wanted to provide as something to bring in income and not allowed? I mean, Dan, you mentioned, you know, not being able to make money off alcohol right away.
Well, we did it right, so we were able to. I will say there's a small thing. First, let me say, don't stop believing, Doug. And for you, Rick.
You journey narc.
And also, I mean, one thing we face with our patio is it doesn't directly abut our building. So any alcoholic beverages going out the door have to be taken out by a server. But we don't have servers, so, you know, somebody stops doing their job to take it out. And, of course, I'm happy, and I love to sell alcohol. I love beer, and I like our customers to drink it. But, you know, it's unfortunate that we, you know, customers can't carry their own beer those 10 feet from between our front door and our patio.
Because they can't have it. They can't have it in that 10 feet is drinking in public.
Yeah, that 10 feet is not our property. The patio is our property, released from the city. The building is our property, but in between is not.
Anybody else?
Well, I think just to touch on what he said is basically to find out the reasons why. Why are they not allowing him to put up a sign? Why are they not allowing him to get a license to sell firewood? There have to be reasons for this. Get to the bottom of it. Find out what the reasons are, and then get your game
then
plan.
Then fix it.
Fix it. Exactly.
All right. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Dial us up. Stephanie Marshall, M3 Masonry, Kurt Gray, Maggie Moo's Ice Cream, Dan Epstein, Epi's Restaurant. Bring on the questions, boys and girls. All right, I wanted to talk about the seasons. And, Kurt, I'm going to start with you. It's I can't use that word, but it's cold lately. And think in the winter, people are like, I don't want any ice cream. How much money can the ice cream place sell? I know that there is at least one in town, sort of a mom-and-pop place that closes down. How do you continue to make to bring enough money to pay your staff and your rent, et cetera?
Well, fortunately, Rick, since we opened in February, this coming February will be the end of our second year, the winter months, December, January, and February, have been very, very good months for us. I guess part of that could be the holiday shoppers in November and December, but I kind of, when I did all of my projections, I didn't project big sales in January and February. Kind of put more weight on the summer months, and as my learning curve has demonstrated, the winter months have been pretty consistently good for us. I don't want to say they're better than the summer, because that would not be true, but they're certainly better than I had anticipated. So for all, you know, for my purposes, the winter months, the cold weather, now bad weather will affect us. If it snows or sleets, you might as well just lock up. But cold weather.
People don't want to get out of their car in the rain to go get an ice cream.
They just kind of hunker down. But cold weather last week, we had a stretch of those, you know, 25, 30-degree days, and I was as busy as I was when it's 60 degrees.
All right. I'm going to come back to that. But we'll take this phone call. We got Craig from Albemarle. Hey, Craig.
Hey there.
Question, comments?
Just a comment. I've been listening for the past few minutes to the kind of rant against signage and or signage ordinances. And just as a member of the public, I'm really glad that we have those. I think it's been a real improvement on 29 since the county tightened up their sign ordinances, and the establishments are not kind of getting in your face and doing the verbal equivalent of yelling at you as you drive down the road. And
Craig, can I ask what you do? I mean, are you an entrepreneur? Are you self-employed? Do you work for someone else?
No, I'm just you know, a regular person who goes to work. But
well, that's all I am. So don't diminish it.
No, I mean, I don't have a personal stake in the sign issue, other than a person who goes down the roads and is glad that the county has.
Well, and I would agree with you to some extent. I think that there are some businesses in this area that, you know, I don't need a bright yellow or a bright orange business to point out to me that, you know, I'm over here. But I do also think that there are some county rules and regulations that make it very, very difficult for a business owner to be successful. And I don't know enough about the sign qualifications, except what I've had to deal with.
Well, part of the reason they have sign ordinances is because we're getting to be a more densely populated, more populated place. And so, in some sense, the entrepreneur's success is derived from that increased population, which also propels the sign ordinances.
All right. Good point. Thanks for calling in, man.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for the show.
All right, 11:49 on the wake-up call, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. By the way, if you hadn't listened to the whole show, like Craig, www.cvillepodcast.com should be up later in the day. All right, back to where we were. Stephanie, construction, how does the, you know, seasons affect you?
Well, definitely the weather affects us many different aspects. You cannot lay brick or block when the temperature is below 34 degrees.
So what do? Those guys just have off?
Well, normally, if the temperature is not going to go up during the day, then we do have to let them. The last week when we had the temperatures in the 20s, we didn't work. So our...
So you're not bringing in any money.
I'm not bringing in
any
money.
Even if you're the business owner.
Correct.
You know, by the way, quick question. Do you, in your business budget, do you plan yourself to make X number of dollars so that your family life can continue at even the minimum?
You try.
Pace?
Yeah, yes. We've set a budget that, you know, I know what I have to have in revenue on a daily basis to,
for home life,
to make things at home comfortable.
Right. It's not like you're saving, making a lot of money to send all your kids to Harvard or, you know, Stanford or something, and to drive around your, you know, your Hummer.
Well, hopefully the sweat equity that we're all putting in today, I know Stephanie's been in business longer than we have, but I'm hopeful that, or I'm actually positive that, the sweat equity I'm putting in today, well, it'll pay off in the future.
All right, we got a call. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, how are you doing?
We're having a fun time, although nobody brought any food. Comments?
I have a question. I just opened up the children's store up there on Route 29 North, Nature's Child. And as a new business owner, I'm finding it's time to kind of put my money where my mouth is with regard to policies like maternity leave, health care, things like that. I'd love to hear from the other business owners how they reconcile their kind of moral social values with the bottom line of their business.
You know, I brought up benefits out in the lobby before we started, and I got the evil glance. So we'll get into that. Thanks for the call.
Oh, thank you.
All right. I did not prompt Kristen to call in, so let's jump on the question.
I guess I'll start. When we started our business 10 years ago, my thought process was to start a construction company that actually offered benefits. There's not a lot of construction companies in the area that offer benefits, but it definitely does cut into your bottom line. We have we offer health care to our employees after they've been with us for 90 days. They have Southern Health. They have a dental plan. They have 6 paid holidays during the year. And if they stay with us for a year, then we give them a week's paid vacation. I do not have to deal with the maternity issue because all of my employees are male. I don't know if down the road I'll have to deal with that, but if I do, then that's something that I'm going to have to
do. Family Medical Leave Act? You don't?
I mean, they if they have sick days, you know, they take the sick days off. We don't offer any sick days. So because of the week's paid vacation.
Right.
So,
Is there, I mean, and you said you went into the business wanting to do that?
Yes, yes. In order to retain employees, that was the main objective, was to get really good employees, get really good masons into the business and keep them, not have such a high turnover rate that the construction business has. You
Kurt,
know,
how about, I mean, Maggie Moves is a franchise. Does the company as a whole offer anything, any benefits of that sort? And if not, would you want to and be allowed to offer that to, you know, at some point when you want to have a store manager that you can leave in there so that you can take off for 14 days?
I think from a national standpoint, Maggie Moves offers nothing that we can utilize for that purpose. So if I did hire a Rick who, and part of that negotiation was that I need health care, that would be something that would certainly be considered. And we will have to face that at some point. Right now, I'm the managing partner. My wife and I work all the time. Most of my employees are 15, 16 years old.
So how many hours are you putting in?
Probably about 70 to 75.
That's a lot. I mean, and that's part of being an entrepreneur. Dan?
And that's when your manager doesn't call in 5 minutes before you're leaving.
Oh, geez. See, I don't allow that. I figure if I show up to work and I don't feel well and I'm sick and I stay for a while and just do things where I don't have to, I can't spread it around to other people, they will too. Because they've seen me there not feeling well. Even if I don't stay all day, they'll do the same thing. Dan, how about you in terms of benefits at the restaurant?
We don't have a strict policy of, you know, here's the benefits that everyone gets. And I think we really do it on a case-by-case basis. I mean, it sounds like turnover is pretty high in Stephanie's business, too. I mean, I know it's high in Kurt and my business. I mean, just to throw out a number, we've been open maybe a little bit less than 2 years, and we've gone through definitely more than 50 people, maybe 150.
And that's not unusual for the restaurant.
I don't think it's unusual. I mean, I've had, you know, so many people, and it's not like I'm hiring every person who comes in the door. You know, I'm vetting them, and I think, wow, this person's really going to be a good employee. I should hire them. And then, you know, maybe they quit after a day or quit after a week. So it's something you got to deal with. But when someone, but then again, everyone who I've got now has been with me maybe 5 or 6 months. And we talked about this before the show, just to get into it quickly. I mean, I've had the best luck hiring people who come recommended from current employees or who are family members of current employees. You know, because someone who works for me now, who's been here 6 months, been there a year, you know, they want to work with their friends. They want to work with their family. So they say, you know, give my wife or give my brother or give my cousin a job, and I will. And then likewise, when, you know, an employee who's been with me a while has a health problem or whatever, you know, we'll talk about it and work it out on a case-by-case basis. You know, somebody needs a surgery, needs some money, you know, I've appreciated your help. I've appreciated your work. You know, you're going to be here. I'm happy to help you out there.
All right, 11:56 here on the Wake Up Call. Kristen, good luck with your job out there. You are listening to WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. Let me take a moment to thank Five Guys Burgers and Fries for their support to WNRN. Five Guys serves America's standard, fresh and handmade from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., and they're open until 10 p.m. Fridays and Saturdays. That's Five Guys Burgers and Fries behind the fountain in the Barracks Road Shopping Center, in the Hollymead Town Center, and now on the Downtown Mall, all in Charlottesville. On the web, you can find them at fiveguys.com. Spell it fiveguys.com. All right, Dan Epstein from Epi's Restaurant, Kurt Gray, Maggie Moo's Ice Cream, Stephanie Marshall, M3 Masonry here as we finish up the last few moments on the show. Stephanie, are you still with me?
Yes.
You haven't passed out?
No.
I don't see any big sweat over there. I told you I would make it as simple as I could.
You did. Thank
All
you.
Right. I want to go back to hiring of people. Dan touched on it here at the end. Kristen brought it up. Finding and firing individuals in this area. Charlottesville, I think that the folks looking for a job, for the most part, have the place. This is the place to be. It isn't if you want to make somewhere more than $50,000, because that's what you need for your family. But if you're out there looking for a job that can pay you $8 to $10 an hour, you can pretty much have your pick. And I'm curious as to how you find those people.
Well, for myself, when we opened Maggie Moo's, I intentionally started our entry wages, I don't want to say considerably higher than minimum wage, but I had 15-year-olds that I hired when we first opened that were making $6.50 an hour. And that was an intent to attract what I would perceive as a higher quality person.
Right, because at that age, that's a lot of money, because McDonald's, or just to pick that name out of nowhere, is only paying the minimum wage.
Well, and what it is allowing me to do is retain those employees. Employees that any turnover I've had are those 16-year-olds that went away to college this year. And even some of those have come back to me within the last couple of weeks. They're back home now.
So they become seasonal employees for you.
Some of them are seasonal.
When they're out of school and want some bucks, they come back to see you.
And I don't have any problem giving them those hours, because they have the experience and the loyalty that I was looking for when I hired them originally. And just as Dan was saying, we have a lot of referrals. You know, the younger sisters now can go get a work permit, or the younger brother can go get a work permit. And that's my business. You know, I don't have full-time employees. I have teenagers that work 6-8 hours a week. So if there is any slowdown, that I'm not really hurting them, because they're only already working 6 to 8 hours a week. Now I have other employees that are at UVA or at PVCC that do want to work more hours, because they have a car payment, they have insurance, they have tuition. So fortunately, we have not had a great deal of turnover.
All right, time to finish up. I'd like one word or one brief phrase from each of you as to is your suggestion to someone who's been thinking about starting their business. What do they need? What should they focus on? Ladies first.
You said a phrase.
You can use one word. You know, courage, I think, was tossed out here earlier. One word or a brief phrase.
I'd have to say no excuses, no fear.
Ooh, I like that one. Dan?
I mean, this is hard to bottle up, but I'd say just find out what you're passionate about and do it.
I like that. Kurt?
I like Dan. Be passionate about it. When you decide to do it, be spontaneous, be dedicated, and have fun with it.
All right. Dan Epstein, Epi's Restaurant, Kurt Gray, Maggie Moo's Ice Cream, Stephanie Marshall, M3 Masonry. Thank you so much for coming on the air.
Thank you.
All right. Next up, Drew Thompson, Les Temps Purdue.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.org. The wake-up call is produced by Michael Strickland. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.